The FBI is still gathering the facts about what happened in San Bernardino, but here's what we know. The victims were brutally murdered and injured by one of their co-workers and his wife. Muslim Americans are our friends and our neighbors, our co-workers. So far, we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home. If we're to succeed in defeating terrorism, we must enlist Muslim communities as some of our strongest allies rather than push them away through suspicion and hate. Muslim Americans are our friends and our neighbors, our co-workers.
Together.
Radio.
We have audio, no video.
Radio Free Beyond.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt. This is episode 1610. You are listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show here at Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting across the Fruited Plains, across the redoubts, and into occupied territory to bring you encouragement, to bring you news and information and awareness about what's going on and preparing for the storm ahead, not out of fear. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Putting fear in its proper perspective, especially for those of us that hear from others, oh, you shouldn't prepare. That's living in fear. Well, that's nonsense. And that is completely out of context and false. So we are going to cover a bunch of stuff tonight. We're going to be flying through this. So I want to welcome all of our new listeners. Thank you for tuning in and listening. And if you didn't get a chance to tune in yesterday on the American Christian Network and the Liberty Broadcasting Service on our radio stations across eastern Washington, northeastern Oregon, and north Idaho, you can go back and listen to that, where we interviewed Karen Schumacher to talk about Agenda 2030 and how they have their sights set on, well, lands in the western states. So go check that out. Welcome to those of you who have made the announcement this week that you are moving to the American Redoubt, taking the gap. Another Christian Patriot family takes the gap, as announced yesterday. I mean, they're just all week, but throughout the week, I get letters from people saying, we did it. We sold our home, or we sold our business, or we're moving. We got the job we were looking for, whatever it is. What a blessing. So I also remind them, and I want to remind you now, there is much work to be done. Do not come to the American Redoubt and check out. The enemy has declared war on the Redoubt and is tenacious and cunning. So although we're blessed to have you, we need you in the fight, because the fight is on. Let's get right into the news and commentary, brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. Well, first of all, breaking news, a shooting of a pastor in Coeur d'Alene just a few hours ago. Pastor Tim Remington of the Altar Church in Coeur d'Alene was shot multiple times just before 2 p.m. today in the church parking lot. This was apparently reported by witnesses. The Remington, who gave the invocation at presidential candidate Ted Cruz's rally yesterday at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds, was listed in critical condition at Kootenai Health as of 4 p.m., so just 4 hours ago, the hospital spokesman Kim Anderson told the press. According to police, the suspect in the shooting fled prior to the police arrival and has not been located. Police detectives are on the scene. This is an active investigation. This is very new. So please remember to hold Pastor Tim Remington up in your prayers. I know him. I've never really spent a lot of time with him, but I do know that he's been very involved in the preservation of traditional biblical marriage. He's works with a lot of addicted people. He just has an amazing outreach in the community over there in Kootenai County. So lift him and his family and the parishioners up in prayer. I don't know what type of security they have in place at the church there, but that's the latest. A warning from my alert system, and a couple of you sent this in. Geomagnetic K-index of 7 or greater is expected from a solar flare. This is one of the larger ones that we've seen. This is going to create what they expect, G3 or greater, which is strong to extreme. It will affect primarily poleward of 50 degrees and then north. Induced currents of power systems, voltage irregularities may be possible. False alarms may be triggered on some protection devices. Spacecraft may experience some surface charging and increased drag. Satellites and orientation problems may occur. Navigation, intermittent satellite navigation could be disrupted or inaccurate, could show some errors. And of course, what affects all of us in Ameron is the HF, high frequency radio, may be intermittent. So count on it. Good thing we're not having nets this week. I'm surprised because usually we get a solar flare right before nets are scheduled. So we get that extra challenge thrown in there. Speaking of that, I will be doing a partisan radio late tonight, and then I'll be finishing up tomorrow. So I'll get that uploaded for you guys tomorrow. Several things to cover there. In the national news, the Pledge of Allegiance to the International Flag, a school, kindergartners. This is brought by Sean Hannity over at Hannity.com. People are outraged. This public school students are taught to pledge allegiance to the international flag, where they took an American flag, hand-drawn, with all of these international flags, mostly Spanish-speaking flags, because they're bilingual, in this New York school. And then they pledged allegiance to this international flag. Interesting, though, they have a Russian flag included, overlaid over the stripes on the star, the American flag. More indoctrination. Here's some good news. This is something that we're trying to get those in the American Redoubt to catch on to, although they're working on it. We've got some news on that, though. West Virginia lawmakers override the governor's veto. If you remember, they passed a permitless carry bill that the West Virginia governor, Earl Ray Tomlin, vetoed, and it would have allowed for citizens in West Virginia to carry concealed firearms and without a license, because it's called constitutional carry. He vetoed it. Well, they overrode his veto, and now it becomes law within 90 days. When the governor, Tomlin, vetoed it, he released this statement. West Virginia's law enforcement officers have dedicated their lives to keeping us safe and helping us in times of need, and it's disheartening that the members of the legislature have chosen not to stand with these brave men and women, putting their safety and the safety of West Virginians at risk. It's unfortunate that these concerns of officers from every law enforcement branch in the state, including the West Virginia State Police and University Campus Police officers, have been ignored by today's actions. Talking about the day that he vetoed it. But lawmakers who view the requirement of a concealed carry license as a burden on the exercise of Second Amendment rights, amen, saw things differently. They overrode the veto by a vote of 23-11. Good for them. Now, they're trying to do the same thing in Idaho, but now it's being dubbed the Get Me Reelected Gun Bill because they've watered it down so much. And the NRA wouldn't approve the bills HB 422, HB 423 from two Patriot legislators, Heather Scott and Ron Nate. They submitted two gun bills early in the session, and they were sent to the House Ways and Means Committee which is notorious for being the graveyard for bills to die a slow death. Well, it's being revived, but it's watered down. So everyone's going to be able to say, I voted for this bill for constitutional carry. But the citizens of the Gem State are feeling rather frustrated in the political games from their elected officials because they're saying Idaho is still falling behind on our constitutional rights. Also, this next story, also from Redoubt News, go to redoubtnews.com to stay on top of issues that are taking place and relate to the American Redoubt. There is a bill supposedly going to committee in Boise, HB 568. I think that's supposed to go tomorrow. No, that went Friday. It's called The American and Idaho Laws for Idaho Courts. It's written to be the public policy of the state of Idaho to protect its citizens from the application of foreign laws when the application of foreign law will result in the violation of a fundamental right guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of the state of Idaho, including but not limited to due process, freedom of religion, speech or press, and any right or of privacy or marriage embodied in the Constitution of the state of Idaho. So this is really designed to preempt any kind of Sharia law or UN laws before they can even become an issue. So get behind that one as well. All right, we're going to turn it over to Fox 519 with the Eye on the Economy. I want to remind you, when you click on the Amazon store link on Radio Free Redoubt and go to Amazon.com, that helps support Radio Free Redoubt and Amron with the affiliate links there. If you're going to buy a new barbecue or you're going to buy a book or a hairdryer, whatever it is, when you link on through to the Amazon store, it doesn't cost you any more, but they pay an affiliate fee. So you buy something for $10 and they send us 50 cents and all those little 50 cents is add up or whatever it is based on, you know, the seller. Buy something for $50, we might get $3. So that helps. So I just want to remind you about that. Okay, segment one is a wrap. Fox 519, Eye on the Economy. We'll talk to you on the other side of the break.
When the oil company's CEOs start to tell their employees things are bad, you'd better listen. Not only that, 13 major retailers have been closing their doors at record rates. Things are starting to look more grim by the week, but we here at Eye on the Economy will continue to bring you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello everyone, Fox 519 here. Over the past 8 weeks, you've heard our commercial for SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about the quality of this product. When you think about the collapse, our minds normally drift towards things like the three Bs, the beans, the bullets, and the Band-Aids. But I want you to add another letter to that, C, for coffee. Basic things like coffee are mood boosters, and those are very, very important. Nothing is worse than being in a very stressful environment and not having anything to look forward to in the morning as you wake up. You should store coffee. Yeah, you could store that low-quality stuff in the number 10 cans, but I would encourage you to go with a quality product, and that product is coffee from SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Their roasted or unroasted beans are some of the best you can get, and you should make sure that as you think about your future, do you want to wake up to low-quality, stale-tasting coffee, or do you want to wake up to the vibrant-tasting coffee that will help you slip on your boots in the morning and be ready to rebuild the Redoubt? Get yours today. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Two sisters and an amazing quality coffee. Now on to the news. We're in a depression. I'll let that sink in for a moment. Now why do I say that? Because major heads of oil companies are coming out all over the globe saying the same thing. But none more publicly than David Little, the chairman and CEO of Houston-based DXP Enterprises. This week he sent a letter to his employees to explain why, quote, due to bank obligations and to continue to maintain a positive cash flow profile, the company had to freeze its 401k company matching contributions. And why the company is cutting pay is in some cases as much as 60% in some of its production departments. But don't worry about those DXP executives. They're only taking a 10% pay cut. But most disturbing is that Little is right by saying the oil industry and worldwide are in the midst of a, quote, oil and gas depression. Now, I have warned over the past 6 weeks that oil prices, especially the low ones, wouldn't be good. And remember that I have said that the amount of job losses worldwide and what it would do to American the job market when the oil prices continue to collapse? Now it's happening right in front of our eyes. The job market in America is awful now. Now, most mainstream economists would counter that, since you have guys like Carl Tannenbaum over the Northern Trust saying, quote, we've got a real strong job market, and the numbers suggest that fears about the U.S. recession have been greatly overdone. Then you also have Beth Ann Bovino, the chief United States economist at Standard & Poor's. She was upbeat by saying the economy's prospects this year. She said quite certainly, quote, we're back in the saddle again. These comments are ridiculously stupid. In my next story, I'll show you why these asinine comments are just plain ignorant. Sears, Sports Authority, Kohl's, Target, Best Buy, Office Depot, Walmart, Kmart, JCPenney's, Macy's, The Gap, Aeropostale, and The Finish Line are all closing records amount of stores this year in an attempt to prevent the mass bleeding after poor retail sales and rising costs for manufactured goods. But again, things are getting better, right? We're back in the saddle. Everything is okay here. No reason to stay and look. Now move along, nice little sheep. Okay. No, everything is not okay. When the prices of commodities like oil collapse, it has huge ramifications across the globe. Cheap clothing and shoes made from oil-based derivative products begin to skyrocket in price. Why? Because wholesalers have to make a larger margin to offset their production costs so they can pass along the savings to you and I, the consumer. Well, we know those aren't really savings, but you know what I mean. Then, to offset the rising price so they can stay competitive, large companies reduce their workforce to offset that price increase. Then you have more and more people on public entitlement programs. Then you have to see a raise in black market or stolen goods, drug use as depression from not finding a job increases, crime increases, and then you have a central bank that has to offset the costs of those major retailers as they've quit borrowing money for expansion on retail outlets. It's an ugly cycle, and it's almost at its end. Did you know that during the Obama years, good-paying middle-class jobs have been getting replaced by low-paying service jobs? At this point, 51% of all American workers make less than $30,000 a year. Less than $30,000. There is no way you can support a middle-class family with children on $30,000 a year. We have an economy that's in the process of failing. We can see it in the explosion of subprime auto loans that are starting to go bad and oil loans that are soon going to be going bad as well. We can see hundreds of retail stores that are shutting down. We can see tens of thousands of good-paying energy jobs being lost by the month. We stole from the future to try to paper over our failures that didn't work. Now, an economic downturn will ultimately turn out to be even worse than the, quote, Great Recession of 2008 and 2009. It has begun, and our leaders have absolutely no idea how to fix things. I wish I had better news to report, everyone, but I don't. Get prepared now, because rough times are ahead. Stay frosty, everyone. You have to stay focused in the coming days. Thanks for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
This is segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, selkirkmountainrealestate.com, to get you relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, if that's where you got your sights set. I've got a few announcements here. First of all, my email is johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. I try to answer all emails, but I've had another wave. It comes in waves. So some of you, I know, slipped through the cracks. I've not forgotten about you. I've got them marked. I got to go back. But if you don't hear from me, in the middle of the week, shoot me a reminder. Just wave, and I'll get responding to you. Let me know, hey, this is my second contact. Just wanted to ask you about this or that or whatever it is. So thank you, guys. Okay, we've got some things on the calendar you want to mark your calendar with, and we are going to post these on the Highlights and Resources posting, and we'll be adding information to these as they get closer, like links and directions and so on. Monday, March 28th, I will be speaking at the Spokane County Constitutional Republicans monthly meeting. That is a dinner and a meeting, and they have a presenter each month, and they've invited me back to speak to them again. Looking forward to that. A great group of patriots. And we're going to be talking about some of these current events that we're faced with, some of the tyranny that we see, patriots getting rolled up and rounded up, and kind of the trends that we're seeing among our government, and what we as patriots can be doing about this and getting involved and doing our part. So I'll be talking a little bit about that. May 7th is the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington. I will be speaking two times for that. One will be a communications kind of a workshop presentation. Another one will be talking about the challenges that we face as patriots and how to overcome those. Sam Culper will also be teaching an intelligence class that Sunday, the abbreviated one-day version on the following day. But that morning on Saturday, May 7th, I will be holding a private meeting with all of the Ameron Corps operators who are able to be there. And we're looking forward to that. I'm going to spend about a half an hour talking to them. June 7th through the 10th is Cascadia Rising, which will lead us into our annual disaster grid down communications training exercise called T-Rex, Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise, June 10th through the 12th, Friday through Sunday. Mark your calendars, put in for time off from work or whatever you got to do to make sure that you can participate in that. Lots of traffic will be flowing and lots of Ameron operators will be sharing intelligence and situation reports and so on based on this earthquake preparedness exercise that's going to be going on called Cascadia Rising, the week of T-Rex. And we'll be monitoring, listening to that, gathering information and sharing it with all of you over the Ameron nets. And we put up a little teaser, kind of a mark your calendars video over at Ameron.com, so you can check that out. Liberty Tree Expo, that will be in Yakima, Washington, June 17th, 18th, and 19th. Ameron Corps will also be doing a communications training exercise that weekend. I don't know if I'm speaking at that event or not. I haven't heard yet, but my feelings won't be hurt if I don't, because my hands are going to be full. But I will if they ask me to. God and Country Celebration will be June 26th and 27th, normally the weekend of 4th of July, but they pushed it back a week. It will be in June. June 26th and 27th, I believe, are the dates for that, Saturday and Sunday. And I will be speaking there, I think, two presentations, communications, and then a political-related patriot, Christian patriot-related presentation. That's going to be – June is wiped out. I mean, it's going to – I'm going to blink. It's going to be – I'm going to have to take July off to recoup. But, oh, man, what a ride. All right. There is something that I need to cover here. Fear. I got this listener letter. Thanks for all you're doing. I'm seeing more and more people are in the process of waking up. Yes. Although some need to use OPSEC because they have none. Agreed. I have a question about storing food. Luke 12:22 is being brought up when I slip food storage and preparation into a conversation. I'm sure you've read it and would like to I'd like your take on it. I like to think things over. People see this as a verse saying not to store food, and doing so is going against God's word. I also keep running into people who say encryption is wrong. Only people who have something to hide use encryption, like terrorists. I tell them it's not that I have something to hide, but being spied on is against our law, even by the government, and this is how I'm resisting right now. Those people look at me like I'm in left field. Well, that's because they are in left field. It's not you. It's the other way around. Okay, first of all, let's talk about encryption first. You use encryption because you do have something to hide, and they do too. Don't talk to them in terms of resistance, not unless they're there in that proper mindset. Most citizens are lemmings, whether during the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, 1930s Germany and Poland, or Europe and America today, even Christians. They think it's not necessary because they've never had their lives on the line. Security hasn't been built into their psyche because they're not being hunted yet. Broach the subject from a security standpoint, such as cybersecurity. There are foreign and domestic criminal syndicates who've become very sophisticated and efficient in their ability to hack bank accounts, emails, contact lists, personally identifying information, including financial information, plus sexual predators who look for personal information that matches up with an attractive victim that they saw online, and that could lead to the predator right landing on your doorstep of the victim, even Christians. Cybersecurity, including encryption, just makes sense. Now, feel the person out to see how receptive they are about the FBI and other agencies listening or gathering all their personal information and their phone calls. There are very credible mainstream media reports covering this. If they dismiss it, then move on. They don't get it. The world over, in China, Iran, Uganda, Turkey, Indonesia, India, and a plethora of other countries, churches are held in secret. They live and operate like criminals because they are criminals. They understand clandestine communications, dead drops, encryption, secrecy, and covert operations, and posting lookouts, just like a drug cartel. Only their crime is practicing Christianity. And if caught, the penalties range from imprisonment, beating, rape, having their children taken away to be married to a Muslim man, and death. Also, they, most Western Christians, never had to live like partisans fighting an evil regime that is hunting them. A pastor of a megachurch in the American Redoubt recently went on a trip to India, and he came back and he shared what persecution Christians are facing over there. And someone said, I'm sure glad we don't have to worry about that here. And he said, I don't know. Christians there are different. They're a different type of Christian. Their faith is solid, real. It's not superficial and a social club. And he said, maybe that's exactly what we need in America. And I say, exactly. These people that don't understand, they will understand the need for it at some point in the future. But by then, it'll just be a hard lesson that will probably be too late to learn. What we're trying to do is get those of you in this listening audience that much further ahead on the painful learning curve of, boy, I wish I would have been more secure-minded. Now, also, here's the other thing, too. Encryption now is increasingly trendy. You're seeing it among the youth. You're seeing it among privacy advocates, businesses, etc. Look at the popular support for Apple. And there's some people saying Apple should give that up. They should write that code that allows the FBI to get in there because they're official. And no. More and more people are supporting Apple, saying, wait a minute, we don't want the FBI just to be able to just say we want in that cell phone. So anyway, encryption, they'll get it. You get it. Use it. Now, he brings up Luke 12:22. Do not worry. And that's where it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. Now, here is something I'm going to read you a scripture that I take very seriously. I am fearful as I approach this because I don't want to do something wrong. But this is what I had in the back of my mind. I'll get to that in just a second. Because I want to make sure this keeps me in check. And that is, for the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people will call conspiracy, neither be in fear of what they fear, nor make others afraid and in dread. The Lord of hosts regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, lest you offend him by your fear of man and distrust of him. Okay, this part, this hangs over my head. Now, there are conspiracies for sure. There's a quote by William Blum. Now, he's a leftist anti-capitalist, but pretty amazing quote. He says, no matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you imagine. But we also want to be careful not to, whatever the world's running around saying, oh, conspiracy, that we jump on and say, oh, conspiracy. What comes to mind for me is Jade Helm 2015 last year. I fought that from day one. And there are some people that, if you call yourself a patriot and you say Jade Helm's not a really an operation to start rounding up patriots this summer, then you're a traitor, right? So this is what was going on. I'm like, something's not right. Something's not in my spirit. It's telling me something's not right here. Jade Helm's going to be this roundup using special forces. I'm like, I know special forces. This is not the kind of people that they're going to be using to round people up. This is not what people are saying this is. I'm not going to call this conspiracy what everyone else is calling a conspiracy. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I've quoted several times before. And back to, there are true conspiracies. He said the absolute essential task is not political liberation, but the liberation of souls from participation in the lie forced upon us. He was writing about the gulags in Russia. And there are several quotes about resistance and living under that type of regime. We need to shed light on lies, stand for righteousness, oppose those who intend to do evil, and especially those trying to deceive others into accepting, tolerating, or even upholding and defending evil. Especially those who call good evil and evil good. We are to speak the truth when we're being lied to. Like accepting homosexual marriage is an American value for equal treatment and is the ultimate show of love as the Lord has called us to do. That's a lie. That is a lie. And we should call it a lie. But we should use discernment and wisdom in dividing the truth and the lies and the conspiracies. And above all, we should fear the Lord above all. We should not fear circumstances or men or evil agendas. Even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't fear the evil. We fear Him. That is that deeply reverent awe and respect for His power and His righteousness, His omnipotence. So when somebody says, well, you're preparing, that's not very Christian-like because you're not supposed to live in fear. And in fact, Luke 12:22 says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body or what you will wear. So, there. And somebody sent me a letter that basically I couldn't have worded it better myself. So I'm going to read it to you. This is a listener who sent this in this week. When Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat. I said, this is about worry. Do not worry. But there's more to it than that. He said, remember the basic hermeneutical concept of keeping everything in context. His first words in Luke 10:22 were for this reason. So now we need to go back up and see what he's talking about. For what reason? So now you need to jump back to at least verse 16, but it's even better to go back to verse 13 because it's the beginning of a thought. And in reality, 12, 13 through 34 should read together because they are a continuous thought. So now we read a parable of a man who was being greedy, tearing down barns to build larger barns. The parable addressed greed, not being prepared. Verses 15 and 34 are the keys to the entire passage, which are summed up as Do not be greedy for worldly things. And where your treasure is, there is your heart. Where's your heart at? That's what God wants to know. Where is your heart? So to argue that Luke 12:22 says not to prep is to take the passage out of context. And I completely agree. We are in agreement. So 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, before I address this, I want to take you to another verse in Deuteronomy chapter 28, which I think every Christian today needs to go and read. Read Deuteronomy, the whole chapter of 28. It talks about blessings and it talks about curses. "If you follow me, here are your blessings. However, if you turn against me and reject me and rebel against me, here are the curses. This is what you can expect to come down the line if you reject me." So let's talk about this. This is the sermon episode. Now, I'm not a preacher. I don't want to be a preacher. I'm a godly man, and I'm not a wimp. And I will fight, and I can fight. And when the time comes, I will. And there's going to be Christians out there going, "That's not very Christian-like." But you know what? I'm going to do what I'm called to do. And the rest of you warriors out there, I know you will as well. Listen to this. "The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and with the scabs and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you." Who's he talking to? He's not talking to a bunch of heathens. He's talking to his people, God's people, his followers. That was coming from the Lord. That's something to fear. You have no control over that. When it's God pulling the trigger on you, you can't resist it. Not with a Glock, not with an M4, and all the ammo in the world. I do fear God. I don't fear man. I don't prep out of fear of man or the world. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. The proper perspective on prepping. And no single person is going to come along and save our country. Here's a letter somebody sent. They had a dialogue with somebody about the president, the presidential candidates. And this guy comes back and says, "Vote your conscience. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. If you don't vote for Trump, you're voting for Hillary. Trump is the only one who can turn this country around that I see as a viable candidate. We have let the power structure lead us around by the nose with McCain and Romney. But if we keep waiting for perfection, we are going to see our wonderful republic destroyed." Okay, this guy doesn't get it. He's still way back there saying, "If we don't get the right person in, we're going to lose our country. It'll be destroyed." It's already destroyed. This is his next statement. "I personally know how great and terrible the power structure is in the Republican Party, and they must be defeated. I have run big campaigns against them and understand them." You don't understand squat if you still think that Trump has to be voted in for us to turn the country around and be saved so the republic won't be destroyed. It has already been destroyed, my friend. It's over. We have passed the point of no return. There's an article. Two people were shot after an argument over Air Jordans. And this lady's lamenting. She says, "In all reality, it's our fault." This Latrissa Favorite is her name, who looked on as police investigated. She said, "Our mentality needs to change. Then we wouldn't have things like this happen, because it's not the shoes. We can take those Jordans away and it will still happen over something else." I think the mentality of our people needs to change, and we won't have incidents like this. It's not a mentality issue. It's a spiritual issue. These things will continue to happen, and no president's going to change that. At least definitely not any of the ones that looks like they're going to be the next president. We're living in a former Christian nation, which is in rebellion against God. And If his past performance on dealing with his people is any indication of what we can expect in the future for America, then I want to prepare for that. I'm a God-fearing man. I know he has always preserved a remnant. I want to be part of that remnant. And knowing what I know about hardship all through history is that when hardship comes to nations, there are certain things that are guaranteed. Security will be an issue. Food will be an issue. And there will be medical needs. And there will be restoration afterward. That is where the remnant comes in. See, this isn't out of fear. I think completely differently. This you shouldn't fear thing, it doesn't persuade me. And in fact, it doesn't even compute with me because I don't fear. I don't prepare for the days ahead out of fear. I do prepare with a sense of urgency because I feel that time is getting short. We're running out of time. We're out of time. I get kind of excited thinking about it, to be honest. I get butterflies. I get kind of anxious when I think of the times we're living in. What an amazing time to be alive. History is being made right now, every day in the news. And we're living in it. We're living during the fall of the greatest, wealthiest, most powerful nation that has ever existed in world history. And we have a role in that. Yes, spread the gospel. That's the Great Commission. But that's like saying we're running a store. Well, there are many small tasks that go into supporting that. There's the cashier, the manager, the accountant, the human resources person, the security guy, the produce manager, the ordering and inventory manager, the janitor. There are all kinds of roles in that bigger picture. I do not feel called to stand on the street corner handing out tracts, telling people to repent or they're going to hell. But some people feel called to do that, and I'm not going to admonish them for what they feel called to do. Some are called to minister to the homeless in inner cities, while others are counselors helping people addicted to meth break free in a small rural town in South Dakota or somewhere. While another family feels led to go to Indonesia to help start a church. I feel called to help encourage, equip, and train where I can within the scope of my abilities and knowledge, the remnant in America. Someone said, it's going to take millions of us all standing together. No, it won't. That's simply not going to happen. It's going to take a remnant, a small few, a group of God-fearing patriots that all the odds are against, so that only he will be able to get credit and be glorified. It'll be obvious, if successful, that his hand was in it. And there are no guarantees. We could all get ground up in the machine and be defeated. But just like Daniel, when he was faced with death for going against the order not to pray, or like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were told to bow down to the golden image or be thrown into the furnace, or King Hezekiah, who was told by the king of Assyria to surrender and who was vastly outnumbered by the king of Assyria. Even if the Lord doesn't allow us to prevail, though, it doesn't matter. But I don't prepare out of fear. I do it out of obedience to what I feel the Lord has put on my heart. I do it out of a sense of responsibility and duty. Fear is not even in the equation. I don't even get that. Noah was told to prepare for a flood that would wipe out everything on earth, and not only to build an ark, but to store provisions for him and his family and all the animals for what? How long? A year? 2 years? He didn't do it out of fear of the flood. He did it out of fear of the Lord. Joseph interpreted the Pharaoh's dream to mean that there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh said, well, we better stock up then. That would be the smart thing to do after all. And then he put Joseph in charge of it. You're going to be in charge of it. Make sure it happens. Why? Because they feared the famine? No, because it was wise. Because they stored up they didn't have to fear. It's an insurance policy. Do you buy insurance for your car and then drive around just all nervous and shaking and waiting for the accident to come? Is buying car insurance a lack of faith that the Lord will protect you from a car accident? In Joseph's case, in all of these cases, the advanced warning was a blessing, a gift from the Lord, which ultimately served several nations, including Israel, from starvation. God did provide for them by giving them advance warning. Joseph and Mary were warned that the FBI was about to do a raid on their home in Bethlehem and were told to E&E out of the area and head to Egypt because they were coming to kill Jesus, the child. I don't know, maybe they were afraid. I probably would be. I'd probably be afraid if I were a Christian living in Iraq, especially after a scout comes flying into the village on his motorcycle screaming that ISIS is coming and they're only 5 miles away. My heart would be in my throat as I'm trying to get my wife and daughters thrown into my, whatever they use over there, Toyotas, to get them headed out the other end of the village while the guys and I set up an ambush, knowing we probably won't survive the night, but that the delay that we create will probably give our wives and daughters enough time to get to safety without being captured by ISIS, and who will do unspeakable things to them if they're caught. The second time Jesus sent his disciples out, the first time he says, take nothing, everything will be provided for you. The second time, things changed. He said, this time, take all the provisions with you that you'll need. The first time you went out with nothing, but everything was supernaturally provided for you when you went on your way. This time, it's different. Take swords. You'll need them. Did they take all these things out of fear? No. They did it because the situation had changed and it required them to take provisions. They adapted to the tactical situation that had changed. They didn't chew their fingernails down to the quicks worrying about it. They just did it. It puzzles me how Christians, even pastors, can admonish those who feel called to prepare and those who are trying to educate others. It's very predictable what's coming. Most of those people live in the here and now, and they don't know history. Yes, the Lord does provide, and as far as I can tell, He usually provides by giving warning in advance to prepare. He gives us wisdom and discernment so we can make decisions. Unfortunately, we lack discernment today as a body. But here's the warning. Just like the rich guy who kept building more and more storehouses so he could fill them up, that became his object that he was obsessed with. This is a trap that even modern Christian patriot preppers can fall victim to. Some do it out of fear, but others do it for the sake of being so self-reliant that you no longer rely on the Lord. I'm self-reliant. No need to rely on anything or anyone else, including the Lord. You're going to get it snatched from you through theft, fire, rodents, bugs, or you're going to have a heart attack, just like the guy in the Bible. Let me read this. Then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Do not, for not even when one has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store up all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And he turned to his disciples and said, for this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as what you will eat or your body or what you will put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. You get that? Life is more than food. It's more than prepping. A prepper without a cause. It's all about him and his stuff. who doesn't contribute to squat and has no intentions to, who doesn't contribute to the kingdom of God, doesn't contribute to fighting against injustice, against tyranny, and for American principles, values, or his tribe, his community, or his republic. That's a prepper I have no use for, just to be blunt. And I don't think the Lord does either. What's in your heart? You know, and God knows. You can say, oh, I'm doing all this so I can support other people. It's like somebody's like, if I won the lottery, I'd help so many people. Well, you know what? That's what your words say, but only you know if you're lying. Or you might be lying to yourself. What's really in your heart? Don't admonish the missionary or the street preacher if that's not your calling, but don't let others admonish you for doing what you're called to do. Just make it count. Don't do it out of fear. Do it for a higher purpose and contribute to the cause. And you are not a cause. Those Christians who tell you that you're not putting your faith in the Lord if you prepare will be the first ones on your doorstep telling you that sharing is the Christian thing to do. Their idea of preparedness is what their idea of the Lord providing for them is eating what you've stored up in advance. We'll be back with segment three. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. And you don't mean to treat you bad, but I did anyway.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. What is a rhino? Well, in modern political terms, it means Republican in name only. But in truth, both parties have them. They're opportunists, and they are everywhere. And now that the general election is 6 weeks away, it's good to know who's who. An opportunist is a person who is beholden to compromise and not principle, who says one thing but does another. It's a person who won't take a pledge in writing because they say it's a gimmick. It's a person who campaigns on pro-business conservatism, but behind the scenes takes thousands from the pro-gas tax lobby and labor unions, including SEIU, who championed Obamacare. It's a person who says they're out to help every man, but can only do so by raising taxes. My opponent is one of those people. Over the past 6 years in Olympia, I've done what I said I was going to do, and that's make lower taxes, less government, and more freedom a reality in Olympia. Actions speak louder than words. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Look, Matt Shea, Republican.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Going into segment three with Katie Armor bringing it to you. They have their soft armor. They have the side plates, front plates, plate carriers. Awesome. Patriot-owned business right here in the American Redoubt. And they include free shipping on everything. Current production lead time, less than a week. Check them out at katiearmor.com. That's C-A-T-I as in come and take it. This week, you've probably noticed there's been a wave of American patriots being arrested on charges from the Bundy Ranch incident in April of 2014, or from Burns, Oregon, the most recent event, or both incidents, especially those that were present at both, or had some influence in both, like Clive and Bundy. Now, some folks are saying this is just like East Germany, a night of the long knives when they rounded up all the brown shirts. Well, this is not the same thing. The night of the long knives is still yet to come. This is a precursor. If you don't know what the night of the long knives was, you can just you Googleize it, just any internet search and just look it up. But that happened in 1934 when Hitler had all of the many of the brown shirts all rounded up and executed. Many of them were executed by the SA. This would be like Obama sending out the FBI, Loretta Lynch and the FBI to round up key people in DHS that are a threat to him and whacking them, clearing the way. It was a purge. Now, in Stalin's Soviet Union, in Germany's Nazi Germany, in Poland, Bosnia, I mean, all over the place, Africa, there's a purge that takes place. And usually these will be key leadership role people that are considered a threat. And this is going to happen at some point in our future. Now, we've seen a soft purge, like of our military. We've seen very patriotic, conservative, valued leadership in our military be purged. They are skimming off anybody that might buck this new system, this new world system. That can play into our favor because there are a lot of very influential military leaders, from non-commissioned officers all the way up to general class officers, with still a lot of influence and pull and connections. That would be very key in a resistance type setting. Say if the Chinese invaded and they were using some of our people in our government to help implement, you know, a communist policy, and we were being invaded. Well, those military personnel would be, you know, very valuable resources. They have grievances that could be exploited. They have connections that could be exploited, and you could have a very formidable resistance through all the different stages resistance. So at some point you're going to see this formal purge take place, and what they're probably going to do is go after constitutional standing leadership in elected roles. The policies from the federal level are going to be so grotesque, it's going to force people to say, I can't even begin to justify supporting this, and they're going to fight and they're going to stand against it, at which time they will be deemed unfit for public service because they are breaking the law. Just like the sheriff in Florida. Did I mention this last week? The sheriff in Florida a few years back who refused to enforce an unconstitutional law. The governor had him arrested and charged with dereliction of duty and several other things, obstructing and, you know, all the catch-alls, which I'm going to talk about here in just a minute. He won in this court case and he was reinstated to his position after fighting it. But it doesn't change the fact that the sheriff was at some point arrested and physically removed from office. You're going to see that on a larger scale in the future. So what you're seeing with all the patriots right now, this is almost like a pre-purge. This is softening the playing field. There was a good article that was just sent out from the Idaho 3%ers, from Brandon Curtis. Now, he is he's a patriot. I really like Brandon. Now, we're not all, as patriots, going to choose the same courses of action. Things that he might decide, now is the time to do this. I might say, now is not the time. But I'm not going to tear him down because he's a patriot. And he's not an informant. He's not a plant. He's not a Fed. He is a patriot. There's just been so much just vitriolic barbs and fiery arrows being fired back and forth at all these different patriots making accusations. But he put something out. Let me read it to you. 4 Idaho patriots taken into custody. Now, this makes, I don't know, like 36 or 37 now people that have been arrested across the country in relation to the Bundy Ranch incident and the Burns incident. And they've really been going after people that were at both. The Obama FBI feds have arrested four of our Idaho 3% brothers, including Eric Parker, vice president of the 3% of Idaho. They're holding them on charges related to the Bundy Ranch rancher standoff in Nevada. We need your voice now. The arraignment is, last Thursday morning, I believe, at 9:30 a.m. in Boise. Eric Parker of Haley, Idaho, Scott Drexler of Challis, Idaho, Stephen Stewart of Haley, Idaho, and Todd Engel of Boundary County. And, of course, I know Todd personally, are being charged with one count of conspiracy to commit an offense against the United States. Let me go down these lists of charges. These are the catch-all charges. They just fling everything at you to see what sticks. That way they can plea you down to one or two of these charges. Well, even if you only end up doing 3 years in prison, they still got you as a felony, a convicted felon. Oh, can never vote. Oh, can never own firearms. Conspiracy to commit an offense against the United States. Wow. Right there. Let's stop. If we want to look at equal justice, that means our justice system and our laws apply to everyone equally. Hold on to this first one. Conspiracy to commit an offense against the United States. I don't have the case in front of me. I wish I would have pulled it up. You have the right to defend yourself if you are being threatened unlawfully by someone who is operating under the color of authority. Now, these are the charges. Let me read them down real quick, and we'll come back to that thought. I got three thoughts dangling out there, okay? I'm going to pull it all together. Conspiracy to impede or injure a federal officer, using and carrying a firearm in relation to a crime of violence, assault on a federal officer, threatening a federal law enforcement officer, obstruction of the due administration of justice, interference with interstate commerce by extortion, interstate travel in aid of extortion. The indictment also alleges five counts of criminal forfeiture, which, upon conviction, would require forfeiture of property derived from the proceeds of the crime, totaling at least $3 million, as well as the firearms and ammunition possessed and used on April 12, 2014, which I think they all sold them. I think they went to the gun shows and sold those. I'm pretty sure they all mentioned that to me. Or a couple of them mentioned that they had sold all their guns at a gun show. Okay, let's go back and look at this. If we are living under a system of equal justice, that means the law applies to everyone. Okay, so if you have someone exercising their First Amendment right, holding a sign on the side of the road saying, please stop doing what you're doing. Okay, I disagree with the BLM. Now, if you have someone with a sniper rifle pointed at that person who is no threat, is that not aggravated battery or aggravated assault, rather? That is aggravated assault and no penalties against the person operating under the color of authority, breaking the law, committing a felony. Now, if you are standing there peacefully, holding a sign, which you are constitutionally protected to do, including having a holstered sidearm or a long rifle on a sling while you're holding the sign, is your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. While you are legally, lawfully exercising your rights by redress of grievances, by the right to assemble, and the freedom to speak out against the government abuses. Those are all constitutionally protected activities. And while you're engaged in that, someone is committing a felony by pointing a combat rifle and a sniper rifle at you and those standing near you doing the exact same thing. No arrests have been made. No charges have been filed. Now, if you are pulled over on the side of the road and some police officer gets out and rips all the clothes off of the woman that he pulls over and he tries to sexually assault her, she has the right to defend herself using all means necessary, including lethal force, because the guy's doing something under the color of authority, threatening someone, and the person has the right to resist. So we have a situation here now where people are lawfully and legally conducting an activity while their lives are being threatened by someone committing a felony, pointing a sniper rifle and a combat rifle at them. They could easily articulate they felt in fear for their lives at the final day when they went down there to retrieve the cattle, or on the day that they were standing on the side of the road holding signs, and anywhere in between. It was only until those people who had crimes committed against them by people operating under the color of authority, abusing their power by committing aggravated assault against American citizens, did those rise to do what's lawfully their right to do. And that is offer themselves, offer their take action that stands as a deterrent to the felons who are committing aggravated assault on other American citizens. No trigger was pulled that day because citizens stood up who were armed, which is their right to do. And they leveled, reportedly, allegedly, a couple of them had combat rifles pointed toward federal agents, a group of which whom had previously committed aggravated assault, committing felonies by threatening lethal force against those people who were lawfully exercising their First and Second Amendment rights, who were threatening no one. This is tyranny. If they're going to arrest the person pointing the gun toward the federal agents, they need to arrest the federal agents that were up on the hill with their crosshairs set on the American citizens. They're pushing and they're pushing. I want to read further before we take a break. The Department of Justice is committing to protecting the American people and defending the rule of law, said Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Really? I think I just made a pretty good case that they're not. And especially at Oregon, they have the constitutional right to speak. They have the constitutional right to be armed. They didn't have the right because to camp there because there's a little brown sign says the park's closed after 10 p.m. That was their only crime. What, trespassing? Okay. Today's actions make it clear that we will not tolerate the use of threats of or force against federal agents. Well, don't the citizens, the people, have the right to make it clear that they will not tolerate threats of force by the government against citizens? We're talking equal justice here, right? Department of Justice? Federal agents who are doing their jobs. You know, the Roman soldiers that hung Christ were just doing their jobs. Those Nazi concentration camp guards were just doing their jobs. She says, we will continue to protect public land on behalf of the American people. Hold on. Your job is to protect the American people across the land, not protect public land on behalf of the people. Actually, it's the sheriff's job to protect the people. And the sheriff, Sheriff Ward, failed. So Brandon's letter that he put out said, "It's a sad, dangerous, and telling day in America when the priority of this corrupt U.S. government is small-time political opposition. While openly allowing Clinton, Sharpton, Black Lives Matters, sanctuary cities, and many other Obama liberal Democrat-favored political allies to get away with murder, sometimes literally. We need to take America back. The leftist extremists are now using their government establishment apparatus to squash regular working Americans and ranchers. Stand up, people. Obama expends more time and money and energy and heavy-handedness with white Mormon ranchers grazing cattle next to Harry Reid's property and squashing working-class blue-collar Americans trying to make sure the feds don't go Ruby Ridge and Waco than he does with nuclear Iran, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Muslim extremists, opens U.S. borders, illegal immigration, Hillary Clinton or Al tax-dodging Sharpton. Does anyone know where Bo Bergdahl is at? We can grab him and trade him to Obama for our guys." I love it. "These great patriots will need all of the support that they can get. They were arrested for standing up for the American people and our rights, just like those being held in Portland for making a peaceful stand. The federal officers and agents are wanting to shut down the patriot virus because we stand for freedom." Now, remember, it was this administration declaring patriots, Christians, homeschoolers, returning veterans, those who vote for third-party candidates, those who fly Don't Tread on Me flags, those who advocate for Second Amendment rights and for closing our borders from illegal immigration, who are standing opposed to the Islamic onslaught, who stand for traditional marriage, and who stand for the preservation of unborn lives from being ripped from the wombs of their mothers. Those are right-wing domestic terror threats, while they're ignoring the true threats to our country. You can see where this is going. Anyway, enough of that rant. Let's wrap up. We'll come back in just a minute with segment four. This is Radio Free Readout, the voice of free Americans. We'll be back in a minute.
Church on Sunday, whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality. Everything in its place. Good old-fashioned barbarity.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, revrealty.us, and may God bless you.
This is Radio Free Redoubt, not just the voice of free Americans, but also those that are being held as political prisoners. Radio Free Redoubt is the voice of the American Redoubt and of the oppressed, which we will free one day. Segment 4 is brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com, an American Redoubt-based business with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Check them out today at Werks.com. And don't forget to use your coupon code RFR. Now, last week we looked at subcourse SF0702, the development of resistance forces. Now, this is, let me try to pull this back up. Yeah. But there's another one from the, well, it's from the same course, but it's a subcourse that's covering civil affairs, the analysis of internal conflict. That's what we need to get into. So last week we talked about security and warning, intelligence, counterintelligence, logistics, recruiting, psychological warfare, civilian control, evasion and escape, stuff like that, with the mostly the underground. Because, look, the Chinese obviously have declared us as an enemy. And they're probably going to use North Korea as a proxy to attack the United States, possibly with an EMP. I mean, that could happen. If that happens, with all of the debt that we've accrued using our natural resources as leverage, as collateral, the Chinese are probably going to want to come collecting, right? The repo man's going to be on our front doorstep. If that happens, well, I intend to fight for America. So if we do that, we got to think about how we might go about doing that. So this week, I'm going to be going back into CA-0425, which is the Special Forces, the JFK Special Warfare Center course. And this is one of the subcourses from that. That's Fort Bragg, in case you guys didn't know where the Special Warfare Center is. And someone was saying, hey, where's that? I've looked all over on the internet and I can't find it. I was like, yeah, you're right about that. You will not find this on the internet. This is course curriculum from JFK Special Warfare Center. All right. Now, this is talking about the role of the state in conflict, while it's in conflict. So let me take you down to Section 8. To better understand internal conflict within a state, one needs to look at some of the causes of rebellion. A rebellion happens when somebody somewhere decides that he is in conflict with the society in which he lives, or with the government in power, and goes into rebellion. So if the Chinese attacked, let's say they want to try to collect on the money that we borrowed and can't pay back. They're going to try to set up a new system and say, we're in charge now. And these are the new rules, right? No more churches unless they're state approved. No more firearms ownership. No more whatever. So we're going to say, fooey on youy, and we're going to fight. So we're going to go into rebellion because we're going to decide that our values are in conflict with this new culture that you're trying to develop, right? Without the right conditions, a rebellion is unlikely to begin, or if it happens, to take root. That's because the Chinese are going to try to make everybody fat, dumb, and happy, and comfortable, and safe, and return their lives to some semblance of normalcy as quickly as possible. Like if we were hit with an EMP, they would come and rescue us, bring us food. They would be our saviors. The social environment alone is not the cause of the rebellion. A rebellion begins when somebody feels strongly enough about it to do something. In other words, to rebel. The truth about the rebel leader proposition lies in the observable fact that the silent majority is almost infinitely tolerant or apathetic. Sound familiar? The key to rebellion lies not in the objective phenomena, but in the subjective reaction to them. To say that social conditions are intolerable merely begs the question, to whom? More important than conditions at a given time is the trend. Are conditions improving, deteriorating, or stagnant? Is something being done to review grievances? Or is the government indifferent or incompetent, or both? It is generally agreed that social change, whether for better or for worse, is more conducive to revolt than a static condition of misery. Adlai Stevenson called it the revolution of rising expectations. Conversely, change for the worse after a period of comparative prosperity is also perilous. And we're seeing a declining society, aren't we? Even without the Chinese invading, we're seeing the our whole way of life eroding, and from rights to financial economic prosperity. A study of revolts, rebellions, revolutions, conspiracies, or insurgencies suggests a common factor to all rebels or revolutionaries everywhere, and that is frustration. To be frustrated is to be denied something one wishes to have or believes oneself entitled to have. Rebellion begins when the frustration becomes intolerable. The distinguishing characteristic of the rebel is that his frustration threshold is lower than the ordinary person's. The founding fathers were, this is me talking now, the founding fathers were long suffering. But there came a point when King George was so oppressive that it reached the point where they said, these acts are intolerable. We cannot take it anymore. And that's what led to that rebellion. Just like is if the Chinese came and invaded and they created this situation where we just said, we can't tolerate this anymore. This new government is not listening to our grievances. They're giving us no recourse to redress our grievances. They're oppressive and repressive, and we can't take it. Okay, because we're living in such volatile times, I got some instructions for you, which is kind of an inculcation of what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Train, regardless of your age. Train. Don't go to sleep and fall into autopilot mode because you think Trump is going to get elected. Even if he is elected, where we're headed, no single man can stop it. The establishment hates him. They feel threatened by him and will very likely kill him, or at least attempt it. And if they don't, you're going to see a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde switch in him. That's how I feel. This is what my senses or my alarms are telling me. You're going to see a different side of him as his presidency unfolds if he's elected. Don't put your hope in any man, especially one who isn't a God-fearing man and who has said publicly many times that he would violate the Constitution. And Trump has said that. Not in those words. But he said, I will take this action, this action, this action, and this action. And they were all, many of them, violations of the Constitution. Every member of your family should own a combat rifle and at least 1,000 rounds of commercial ammunition, like military green tip or other tactical ammunition, minimum 62 grains or heavier, 75 or 77 grains preferably, if you're going to have a 5.56 caliber. Minimum 7 magazines. That'll hold 210 rounds, but minus 2 rounds per mag when you're storing it. Depending on your mags, some are better than others. Keep them full, 28 rounds in a 30-round mag. That keeps the spring from getting crunched down and binding up. When you go to pull your charging handle to rack another round in, the spring isn't so tight that it won't go into battery. It won't pick up the next round, the first round. So I'm an advocate of 28-round mags. But at 30 rounds, that's 210 rounds. That's your basic combat load. That's what everyone should have with 7 mags. I don't care if you're 2 years old or 92 years old. If you're too young to use it, you will one day. If you're too old to use it, then, well, you should never be too old to use it, but you should have something to pass down. Every American patriot should have a combat rifle that they can use or pass down to the next generation. Train. Begin training right now. Remember during the revolution, before the revolution, after the Boston Tea Party, the militias began training in earnest. Start training. Watch videos. Study your Army Ranger handbook. Practice walking and talking through each portion of the small unit tactics. Find a veteran who can talk you, then crawl, then walk, and then run you through the drills. Everyone in your family. Take a course, such as one of the ones by John Mosby, Mountain Gorilla, his combat course, or another reputable instructor's course. That's the very basic item. That's a fundamental capability of every American patriot. Now, let's look at recent history of warfare. What do you hear the aid and relief agencies screaming for? Or members of a resistance, a struggling nation embroiled in some type of conflict? Always, there's a short list that is universal in any societal collapse and especially a warfare environment. First, weapons. They always need them and never have enough, including ammunition. Two, medical. This is what agencies always say they're short of, supplies and skilled medical workers, and they never seem to have both at the same time. Three, food. Always. There's always a food crisis. There's lines, there's rationing, there's anti-hoarding laws to include searches. They implement snitch programs to report someone you suspect or know of hoarding any type of contraband, including more food than they think you need or more food than what the next guy has. Which brings us to OPSEC. That stands for operational security. That means shut your mouth about what you have and how much you have to anyone not inside your inner circle that you fully trust and have vetted. And you insist on the same policy for everyone else in your group, your inner circle, your community assistance group, your church group, your committee of safety, whatever. That includes especially social media. Have a minimum of 1 year of food storage for you and your family, plus some to help others at your discretion, not at the discretion of the government or your coworkers or a pastor or your family members who call you a kook because you've been trying to point out to others that there's a storm coming. Have a way of producing your own food with a garden, raising rabbits, or start getting into hydroponics and raising fish or whatever. Your food storage is there to last you until you can begin producing your own. Be prepared to take someone in. It could be someone involved in the underground, or it could be someone from your church, someone that you choose, of your own choosing, not someone that's forced upon you. Especially if the Chinese secret police are hunting for people that they've deemed a threat or part of the resistance. Start developing safe house networks of trusted people separated by one or two links in the relational chain from you. Have a safe place to go. If the place that you're in now becomes too dangerous and unsustainable, wherever you plan to go, don't be a burden to them. Pre-position food and supplies there or nearby so you're an asset to them, and be prepared to work so no one in your family or your group is dead weight to your host. Develop a skill that contributes to the cause. If you're young or fairly young and fit, start training in tactics and become extremely proficient. Train regularly with a group of like-minded people. Join a militia or other tactical group or form one that has their act together. Or become the medic. Take every first aid and trauma course that you can get your hands on, including becoming an EMT, and go higher if you can. And take combat medicine classes. I'm just saying, pick a specialty and immerse yourself in it. Become a radio operator and master every component of communications. Or dedicate yourself to the intelligence effort. Take one of Sam Culper's classes, buy his book on intelligence, and grab every article that he has at Guerrilla America and Forward Observer and copy and paste it into a folder. Remember, YouTube is your friend. You want to learn something? You want to master something? You can find a college-level semester course worth of knowledge on any topic. I'm just giving you a few examples here. Be prepared to support the political arm. Maybe that's your calling. Maybe you're an organizer. Maybe you're a great personal assistant. begin developing close relationships with elected officials, pastors, community leaders, and others who have a proven track record of fighting for traditional, patriotic American values. They will be in the minority among their peers. They will need lots of help, encouragement, and people that they can trust. There will be lots to do to support their efforts. There's the propaganda effort. Learn everything you can. I'm saying this is another option for you. Learn everything you can, especially if you already have a knack for it, marketing, messaging, campaigning ideas. Facilitate speaker presentations to educate the people about the issues. Bring speakers in. Set up the meeting at the local library or a local citizen center or something like that. Learn to write letters correctly to the editor. Learn how to teach other people how to write letters to get ideas propagated out there. Place ads, make flyers, pamphlets, etc. Shoot, buy a printer press. Ben Franklin would be proud. I'll talk more about propaganda in the future. I'll talk about a lot of this in the future. Of course, the Chinese won't like it, and they'll double their efforts to pass ordinances and laws and whatever against these kind of efforts. So you're going to have to consider OPSEC, clandestine tradecraft, and covert methods into all of your planning and operations. Make sense? Okay, that's probably plenty of material. Make your head swim. You'll probably have to listen to this twice, but we're running out of time. All right, I'm going to play some old-time radio by request, and I'm sorry I've not done that in a long time, but people are saying, I love the old, I was a communist for the FBI, or the stories of the OSS, secret agents, and stuff like that. We're going to start playing those old-time radio right after the show. We'll kick it off tonight, and I'll try to move those to an earlier time on Sunday afternoons. Before the Chris Ann Hall show, try to revive that again. It's just a time. It takes time to do all that. So, but we're going to get those out there for you. Hope you enjoy. All right, guys, you've got your marching orders. This is the Voice of the American Readout. You have a blessed week. Keep the letters of encouragement coming. Keep us in your prayers and ideas, suggestions, feedback. Always love hearing it. All right, we'll talk to you guys this week, this next week, and definitely next Sunday night right here at the Voice of the American Readout. Good night.